The judgment of Einstein was enough for Langevin and the other examiners. They congratulated de Broglie for having pursued with a remarkable mastery an effort that had to be attempted in order to overcome the difficulties in the midst of which the physicists found themselves. Mauguin later admitted that he did not believe at the time in the physical reality of the waves associated with grains of matter. All Perrin knew for sure was that de Broglie was very intelligent. As for the rest, he had no idea. With Einstein's support, aged 32, he was no longer just Prince Louis-Victor Pierre-Raymond de Broglie, but had earned the right to call himself plain Dr. Louis de Broglie. Having an idea was one thing, but could it be tested? De Broglie had quickly realized in September 1923 that if matter has wave properties, then a beam of electrons should spread out like a beam of light. They should be diffracted. In one of his short papers written that year, de Broglie had predicted that a group of electrons that passes through a small aperture should show diffraction effects. He tried, but failed to convince any of the skilled experimentalists working in his brother's private laboratory to put his idea to the test. Busy with other projects, they simply thought the experiments too difficult to perform. Already indebted to his brother Maurice for continually directing his attention to the importance and the undeniable accuracy of the dual particulate and wave properties of radiation, Louis did not pursue the matter. However, Walter Elsasser, a young physicist at Göttingen University, soon pointed out that if de Broglie was right, a simple crystal would diffract a beam of electrons hitting it, since the spacing between adjacent atoms in a crystal would be small enough for an object the size of an electron to reveal its wave character. "Young man, you are sitting on a gold mine," Einstein told Elsasser when he heard of his proposed experiment. It was not a gold mine, but something a bit more precious, a Nobel Prize. But as in any gold rush, one cannot wait too long before getting started. Elsasser did, and two others staked their claims first and grabbed the prize. 34-year-old Clinton Davison of the Western Electric Company in New York, later better known as the Bell Telephone Laboratories, had been investigating the consequences of smashing a beam of electrons into various metal targets when, one day, in April 1925, a strange thing happened. A bottle of liquefied air exploded in his laboratory and broke the evacuated tube containing the nickel target that he was using. The air caused the nickel to rust. As a result of cleaning the nickel by heating it, Davison had accidentally turned the array of tiny nickel crystals into just a few large ones, which caused electron diffraction.